The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I want a good foundation in my life. I don't want a bad one. I don't want to be swept away by evil spirit winds. I want my house to stand. Are you in that camp with me? Okay, let's go to the rock and let's see what's going on.
That is Pastor Mike Loxentenko, and this is Reaching Your Heart. Here at Reaching Your Heart, we believe that God answers prayer. If you need prayer, call us today at 888-244-HOPE. That's 888-244-HOPE. 4673. As a reminder, you can tune in to the live worship service held every Saturday at 11 o'clock and Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. You're most welcome to be our guest either online or in person. We will have more details on that as we continue with today's broadcast. Today on Reaching Your Heart, Pastor Michael Oxentenko brings you the first portion of Building on the Rock. That's Building on the Rock. We hope you enjoy it. You can find it online at reachingyourheart.com. Thanks for listening today. Here is our pastor teacher, Michael Oxentenko.
Father, I'm just so grateful today for Jesus, for the living and abiding Word of God. I mean, if we go to Ukraine, there are whole cities that don't exist anymore. I mean, if we think that we're living here and everything's sure, Putin just threatened to destroy our country with atomic weapons. Now, probably posturing, but what a world we live in. This is as bad as the Cold War was during Kennedy. And yet somehow we're so numb that we don't value that which matters most for the coming of Christ, the assembling of the saints, the Word of God, the ministry of the church. Lord, we need you to hover over us. Father, I was reading Nehemiah this morning, my devotions, listening to it actually on the audio tape, where he said, you know, I have sinned, Father. My house has sinned. Our nation has sinned. And Lord, help us to rebuild our house. Get me over there where I can build up the ruins of previous generations. Father, everything should have brought this church down many years ago, but it didn't. So we're praying, Father, to love the cause of God in our lifetime. And to live for others. So grant us insight and proper living from the Bible. In Jesus' name, amen. Both the Chinese philosopher Confucius and the Christian theologian St. Augustine agreed on the idea of what must be the true foundation of all virtues. Confucius said outright that humility is the solid foundation of all virtues. Augustine got there with a question in a roundabout kind of way. He wrote, "Do you wish to rise? Begin by descending. You plan a tower that will pierce the clouds?" That's a question implied. Then he said, "Lay first the foundation of humility." Both the Chinese philosopher and the Christian theologian agree that humility is the foundation of all virtues upon which a good life is built. How many of you are proud of your humility today? Keep your hands down. All right, now. See, the problem with humility, as soon as you think you've arrived, you haven't. Now, philosophers pontificate about that stuff that's non-material, that the thinking of the mind, the values, the virtues, and the like. The English political and natural philosopher Edmund Burke was more practical than these two. He was a little utilitarian in his penchant for truth. He was more empirical. He affected the Baconian scientific methodology. And he wrote, "Good order is the foundation of all things." How many of you like having your kitchens in order, your houses? I've noticed if I mess around in our kitchen trying to order it, my wife looks at me with that evil look. "What are you messing around in my domain?" Ladies like ordering their kitchens. Husbands are going to have to negotiate what they do in the kitchen. The transcendentalist Henry David Thoreau had a way of turning good ideas upside down, as was the custom of his rebellious skeptical time in early American history. And Thoreau wrote that, quote, "Disobedience is the true foundation of liberty. The obedient must be slaves." I don't like that. I think that's a little transcendental too much. To me, that sounds a lot like Satan. And I guess I'm not a fan of Henry David Thoreau and the whole transcendental movement. Philosopher kings and Christian theologians have posited their own ideas on what the right foundation is for a good and moral life. I mean, you can go to all kinds of folks today, I mean, secular or not, and they'll tell you, and Jordan Peterson's perhaps the most famous in psychological circles with his 12 rules of life, they'll tell you what they think you got to do to have a good life. And some of it's good, some of it isn't, some of it's in between. Yet none of their ideas, and I'll say this forthrightly, none of their ideas are worth a plug nickel compared to the clear teaching of Jesus Christ, who is the brilliant, wise, powerful Son of God, who knows the very mind and heart and the character of Almighty God, who knows how to give us the right and noble life that is happy and full. So who's the expert on the life that we need to live? It's Jesus. Give me Jesus, friend, as teacher over any philosopher king in the history of the world, and I will be satisfied with the advice. Are you with me? You with me? Okay. Because Jesus is the creator of the world and the universe, and Jesus really knows what truth is. Jesus doesn't just teach truth. Friends, Jesus is the truth we need. God spoke the law on Mount Sinai in fire and smoke and wind. Remember that in Exodus 19? Came down, the mountain shook, they put a border around the mountain, said don't go up or the glory of God will wipe you out. I mean, awesome display of power. He spoke, and I think of Charlton Heston, the Ten Commandments. You know, that's kind of in our culture through media and other means. But when God gave the Ten Commandments, friend, God the Father was speaking through the pre-existent Jesus Christ to give us his law. Christ was the intermediate agent whose voice declared the will of the Father God in the Ten Commandments. Why? Because Jesus is, and Jesus has always been, the Word of God. Did you hear me? Jesus is, and Jesus has always been, the Word of God. John says in John 1 verse 1 of Jesus that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then we see that the Word is not some idea or philosophy or philosophical construct or impersonal force. He says in verse 2, He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. The Word is a He and a Him. And without Him was nothing made that was made. This personal agent, the masculine Word of God, created the universe. Verse 4, and here's the part that matters to us because we live in the domain of crazy living where life is not worth much in the world context. It's cheap. It says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Friends, we struggle with darkness in our life. We struggle with darkness imposed by forces around us, by financial challenges and the like. And the fact is that Christ is the light we need for our life if we want to really have the abundant life. In John 9, John writes, the true light that enlightens every man was coming into the world. God's light is not some distant quasar stuck out there that doesn't matter to you and me. God's light is Jesus who came to us to give us the abundant life. Jesus isn't just light, friend. Jesus is the true light, according to the Gospel of John. Christ possesses authentic and awesome credentials to teach us and to guide us because Jesus is the Word of God. And Jesus is the light of truth, and Jesus is the creator of the whole universe. And let me get personal. Jesus made you for Him. John is clear that Jesus is the Word of God in the book of Genesis, who was in the beginning with God. How many of you like reading the book of Genesis? You like it? Okay, I like it a lot. I like the first 10 chapters, especially epic literature. And when you read it, you wonder, well, where is Jesus there? Well, the light of creation, according to Paul, was Christ. God said, let there be light. Before there was a sun, moon, or star, Jesus was there. The first Word and the first light in the Bible, the same thing. And God said, let there be light. And the Bible indicates that that light was not created, but it appeared in the darkness and the void. It was the pre-existent Son of God who glowed up the darkness of a void and created life for us. It was Christ on day one of creation. The book of Genesis means a beginning. in the beginning. The Hebrew is Bereshit. The Greek Septuagint is in arche, and that's what John gets in John 1:1, in arche, in the beginning. Jesus calls himself the arche in the Laodicean message. He is the beginning. I am reading now from the King James Version. So let's go back to Genesis and find out where we see Jesus as the Word of God. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Now, my Revised Standard Version, unfortunately, does not translate a vital Hebrew word here. So we're going to look at the New King James Version of Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, notice that word, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Now look at this verse and don't read quickly over it. The Bible says the word of the Lord here was alive. At the beginning, in the book of Genesis, when he came to Abram in a vision and he spoke to Abram, the word of the Lord was speaking to Abram. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. See, when a prophet receives a vision from God, it's not just some existential experience where they're hoping something good will happen. God is speaking in that vision to a righteous prophet. God visited this church in the 1800s with that same kind of activity we see here recorded in Genesis 15. The word of the Lord spoke to Abram in that vision. The word of the Lord cared about Abram to ease his fears of things and to speak to him, to be personal to him. The word of the Lord said, I am your shield. The word of the Lord said, I am your exceedingly great reward. So if you have the word of the Lord in your life, you are rich. It doesn't matter what's happening around you. The word of the Lord, he comes to you and elevates your life. In the Bible, the word of the Lord, friend, is not an idea. The word of the Lord is not a philosophy for moralists to tout about and look smart and superior to others. The word of the Lord, now hear me now, is a person, the person who cares about you, who is the greatest reward you can have in life when you, like Abram, are afraid of what might happen to you all around. If you have the word of the Lord in your life, friend, you have an exceedingly great reward because the word of the Lord is the Lord. The simplest and most profound statement of Jesus concerning the person of Christ in the New Testament, which is a confession of faith, is two words. And it's Jesus Kyrios. Jesus is Lord. And it means Jesus is Yahweh Lord. The Yahweh, the I am who I am, Lord of Abraham, the Lord of creation, the Lord who gave the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, the Lord who is the Word of God. When theologians seek to define the Word of God outside of the person, the presence, the power of Jesus Christ, they're not talking about the Word of God anymore. They're talking about their own ideas. You cannot separate who Jesus is from the words that came from him to us. They are the same. When you open your Bible, and take your Bibles with me, just open it. I don't know about you. When I open my Bible and I put my hand on the pages, are they smooth in your Bible? Isn't that a good feeling? It feels like someone is massaging my hand, especially if I use the backside of it. Now, if you go to the book of Daniel, you'll see so much of that that the pages have fallen apart. But when I am holding my Bible, I'm touching Jesus, the Christ of the Old Testament, the Word of God. The Jesus who is Lord, I'm touching him because he lives and breathes in this document. It is a God-carried document with him in it. We live in a time when there are so many smart people who think they're smarter than this book. They're too smart to go to heaven, frankly, because God has condescended to give us in our language, through human personalities, his eternal word, carried, not just inspired, not just given to us in the days of the prophet, but carried through the centuries into a form that is intentional for the last days, the Bible we hold in our hand. So when you open your Bible and you peek inside the written word of God, friend, you are looking at Jesus Christ, the living and abiding word of God, the light of life that we need in our lives. And Jesus, who is the word of God, came to Abram in a vision when a vision was first recorded in Holy Scripture for the very first time. In the book of Genesis, right there in Genesis 15:1, we see Jesus in a vision, and Jesus, the Word of God, speaks. Jesus has a name in the book of Revelation when he comes at the end of time. You see, what Abram needed at the dawn of time in the book of Genesis, when salvation history begins to be recorded, we need at the end of time if we are to be saved and to be taken to heaven in the second coming of Christ. How many of you want to be left behind when Jesus comes? Take your hands and put them smack on the floor. None of us should. How many of you want to be ready when Christ comes? Want to be in the crowd that says, Lord, take me. This is my God. I've waited for him. Well, look, if we want to be ready, we need to be studying prophecy. We need to be studying Genesis, the teachings of Jesus all together. Christ has the same name in the book of Revelation he had in Genesis 15:1. Turn to Revelation 19, verse 9. Let me kind of bleed into the context with you. And the angel said to me, John, write this. Here John completes the Bible. The last book in the canon that we have will be the book of Revelation. Write this. Blessed are those. Now, where have we seen the word blessed a lot in the Bible? Can you think of one good sermon where it shows up a lot? Yes, where? Beatitudes, yes, and the Mount of Blessings. Matthew 5. This is the language of Jesus. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these, now look at this. He says, these are the what? How does it read in your Bible? True words of God. People say, well, you know, it's not the words of the Bible. The words of the Bible really aren't carried by God. They're human. He kind of bounces around. We can get the ideas of God generally from the Bible. Nonsense. God carries his word so that the words are intentional. Well, it's true. It's not the words of the Bible inspired, but the men of the Bible inspired. Through the inspiration of God's word, the power of the Holy Spirit produces intentional words as outcome so that his word is carried for us and has authority in our lives. Then John started to fall down and worship the angel, but the angel said, look, don't do that.
We'll continue with today's Reaching Your Heart and Pastor Michael Oxentenko in just a moment, so please stay tuned. If you'd like to attend the worship service, I will have details on how you can do that here at the close of our broadcast today. You can always attend online at reachinghearts.org/video. That's reachinghearts.org/video. Many archived messages are available there for you, and you can attend the live service in a streaming format at that website, reachinghearts.org/video. Let's continue now with Pastor Michael Oxentenko in today's Reaching Your Heart.
There goes most of the New Age movement. There goes a lot of what people think is okay in certain religions where you can bow down and worship this God and that and so on. The angel said, I'm not in the worshiping business. You don't worship me. Look at verse 10. Then I fell at his feet to worship him. This is the angel Gabriel, most likely. But he said to me, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. So the prophets are servants. The angels are servants. Worship God. And I like this verse. For the testimony of Jesus is what? What does it say? When anybody knocks the spirit of prophecy, you know what they're knocking? The testimony of Jesus. Do you want Jesus' words in your life? I want every one of them. When God moves upon a righteous prophet to speak, to share his will, that is the testimony of Jesus Christ, the word of God. Now, verse 11, then I saw heaven opened. It's amazing how when we come to grips with the word of God, we come to grips with Jesus, that we listen to his voice, things open up for us in life, and it will be true at the end of time. Heaven opens. I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse. Christ is coming back like a general. It says, he who sat upon it is called faithful and true. So Christ has a number of names. In the book of Revelation, he says, I'm the true witness. And so he's the faithful and true witness. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. Now, Christ came to save us on the cross. At the end of time, he's coming to rescue us from the beast power and evil forces that would destroy us. Verse 12, his eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name inscribed which no one knows but himself. Now, that means Jesus, friend, has penetrating knowledge like fire in the eyes of understanding and perception. Same picture in Daniel 10 of the man in linen who was the pre-existent Christ in verse 5 and thereabouts. Christ has many diadems, friend, because Jesus is the ultimate authority in the universe. You can't get more powerful than Christ. Christ has a name. Now, here we are, and we know in the Bible a name represents someone's character. Christ is a name which is his in God's character. Now, last week, we talked about God's name. What is God's sacred name? Do you remember? What was it? Yahweh. And what does it mean? I am who I am, right? So God's name is his character. Who God is his name. Now, what piece of revelation in Exodus 20 reveals the divine name? The Ten Commandments. So that's why Psalms 119:55 says that when you meditate on his name, you keep his law. Because God's law and God's name is the same thing. Now, here's a quiz question. Last week, where does the law go in Deuteronomy 6? It goes where? On your heart and as? On your forehead, frontlets between your eyes. And where else does it go? In your hand. Now, where does the mark of the beast go at the time of the end? Same place. So what would that imply that the mark of the beast is an attack on? God's law, which is God's name. Now, Revelation 14:1, the 144,000 have what on their foreheads? The Father's name and the Lamb's name, which means his law. Of course, in Revelation 7, the seal goes there. So we should never forget that God's name and God's law is the same thing. In verse 13, Christ's robe is dipped in blood because he died on the cross as the Word of God. You know, we should never hurry over a verse like this. Jesus died for me. Did he die for you too? Do you got awful chapters in your life that you can't fix and make up for? And you just don't want to face God with that awful legacy of how you let him down. Do you have that in your life? Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit in the Sermon on the Mount. Dear heart, Jesus died for our sins. To take them away, John says he has loosed us. The one who loves us has loosed us, in the Greek, from our sins. You are not defined by them ever if you are in Christ. You may struggle, you may fail, you may fall in your upward movement, because we're always moving up in faith. But you are accepted every day in the Beloved. Therefore, we have grace and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul starts his letters that way because the gospel of God teaches that vital truth that we need. Christ died for me. His robe was dipped in blood. The blood that I should have shed, he shed his for me. Amazing thing. The book of Revelation reinforces for the final generation the gospel of grace that saves us and keeps us and holds us all the way to the judgment day. The clearest word of God is found in the silence and the darkness of the cross. God spoke the Ten Commandments at Sinai. God the Father was silent in the darkness of the cross as Christ prayed for forgiveness. As Christ died for our sins, and in the darkness and silence of the cross, we hear the Ten Commandment law of love in louder terms than we could ever hear with our ears. We see it by faith beyond the darkness of the cross. And so John says the glory of God that Moses wanted to see is in the cross. Verse 13, now here it is, Revelation 19. He, Jesus, is clad in a robe dipped in blood. And the name by which he is called is, and what's the name? Come on. The Word of God. The same name we saw back there in Genesis 15, verse 1, when the Word of the Lord came to Abram, saying in a vision, the name that no one knows, but he himself is the Word of God. Why? Why is it so mysterious? Here's why. Because to be the Word of God, you have to know the mind and heart of God. And to be God, that is why no one knows the full depths and meaning of the Word of God, but one who is. And Jesus thus is the Word of God. You can never plumb the depths of God's Word in all eternity. It's deeper than your ability to know, and yet you can know in part. We can know a little of the Word at a time, but not all of it. We can never know all there is to know of God in Jesus and the Word in our lifetime. We will ever be studying the Bible. Believe it or not, it's an eternal document meant for us for all eternity. Friend, the Word of God, I know from personal Bible study, and I've been in this chiastic linguistic thing for about 20 years, it is an infinite system of truth. For these reasons and more, we can know with certainty that Jesus spoke the law of God on Mount Sinai as the Lord God. He was the voice of God. The loving Word of God communicated the mind, the character of God to the children of Israel. When Israel was just a child, when Jesus spoke the Ten Commandments, that baby nation at Mount Sinai, and gave them the Constitution, the universe, the name, the law of God. That is why the Sermon on the Mount, how many of you like the Sermon on the Mount? You read it? The Sermon on the Mount is the heart of Jesus' teaching, New Testament. The Sermon on the Mount is such a dramatic event in the plan of salvation because the one who spoke the law at Sinai is now speaking it in contextual, practical terms in his ministry as the God-man Jesus Christ. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus goes up a mountain just like Sinai and just like Moses went up. And he goes up to speak the living word of God as God, but he's also the new Moses. He's a human being. And Jesus, the new Moses, is God in human form, giving God's law all over again in the Sermon on the Mount in clear, practical terms so the people can understand.
That will conclude Pastor Michael Oxentenko's first portion of Building on the Rock. We will conclude this broadcast the next time we get together. Thanks for listening. We would really love it if you would join us for our worship service. It's held every Saturday at 11 o'clock and Wednesday at 7:30 p.m., either online or in person. If you would like to join us in person, that address is 6100 Brooklyn Bridge Road, Laurel, Maryland, 20707. 6100 Brooklyn Bridge Road, Laurel, Maryland, 20707. Or if you're more comfortable, you're certainly welcome to watch online at reachinghearts.org/video. reachinghearts.org/video. The live broadcast will be streaming and available for you on that website, reachinghearts.org/video. Thanks for listening, and we do pray that God is reaching your heart.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.